For the first time in 7 years, government leaders expect agencies to meet a major contracting goal. They awarded 23% of all prime contracts to small firms last year. But some of the contracting community see warning signs that signal larger problems. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller is here with why some want to rain on the small business success parade. Hi, Jason.
Good morning, Emily.
All right, Jason, so I guess we're starting with a downer, huh? I mean, 23% of all prime contracts going to small businesses is a big deal.
Correct. I mean, and the final numbers are not complete yet, so let's just be clear that things could change. But Emily Murphy, a House Small Business Committee staff member, and others say all signs are pointing to the fact that the government is, despite spending less money, meeting their 23% goal. Now, this is the first time, as you said, in 7 years. 2007 was the last time agencies awarded 23% of all prime contracts to small firms. So this is a huge achievement. Now, at the same time, fewer contracting opportunities also means things are much more tougher on small businesses. Add on to that the shutdown, sequestration, hiring freezes, cuts to training funds, and agencies are still trying to address multiple shortcomings in their acquisition workforces, meaning, yes, they still have very good people, but fewer of them to do the job. So what small firms and other observers are starting to see is a huge rise in contract bundling and contract consolidations. And then agencies on top of it are not meeting the statutory requirements to justify taking those actions of bundling and contract consolidation. Now, Rob Burton is a procurement attorney with Venable in Washington and a former deputy administrator in the Office of Federal Procurement Policy. He says this idea of contract bundling, contract consolidation is not getting a lot of attention in the small business community, but it could have a huge impact on small firms in the near term. Emily Murphy from the House Small Business Committee says contract bundling and consolidation actually are among House Small Business Committee Chairman Sam Graves' top concerns.
The numbers that we have in the database are wrong, and that's bad from a public policy standpoint, but it's even worse when you consider that it means that neither the justification, the mitigation, nor the data capture is taking place when it comes to bundling and consolidation. It means that all this is taking place, and while you or I might catch a contract that's $10 billion, no one's out there looking at the $75 million contract. So Chairman Graves introduced legislation, it's H.R. 4094, that requires SBA to work with GSA, DoD, OFPP, other agencies to really go back and make sure we're capturing the right information so that then the right processes are triggered. I'm fairly confident that that's going to be included in this year's defense authorization, which gives it a good chance of making it into law.
Now, Murphy says that provision would be a step in the right direction, but wouldn't address the bigger concerns, specifically around strategic sourcing and bundling more broadly. She says the goal is to make certain, she says the administration's goal, unfortunately, is to look at only certain percentage of dollars going to small firms, and they're not thinking about the long-term impact on the industrial base that these efforts are having, meaning our company's going out of business, and if you continue to only give contracts to 10 or 15 or 20 businesses, what happens to the 300-400 other businesses? And then in 5, 10, 20 years, are those businesses still going to be around because their revenue streams are drying up, at least from the federal government? Now, Ken Dodds is the Small Business Administration's Director of Policy Planning and Liaison. He says bundling has actually been a pretty big issue since the late 1990s.
Let's be clear. Agencies can bundle and they can consolidate. They just have to justify it. There are thresholds that they have to do. They have to analyze the data. They have to mitigate. There are things that they do. So agencies often get in trouble when they try to ignore it, when they don't do the actual work that they have to do. If agencies do it, they can do it. The problem is we don't really look 5-10 years down the road to see whether they were right or not, and there are no ramifications if they were wrong. I mean, okay, I thought I'd save 20% on that contract. It's 10 years later. What difference does it make? I'm going to consolidate this one because I'm going to save a lot of money again. So it's the backwards look that we don't really have right now.
Now, this issue actually came to light recently when the SBA ruled that the General Services Administration did not justify its rationale for consolidating requirements under its Office Supplies 3 Strategic Sourcing RFP. I'm going to have more on this later today when we go inside my reporter's notebook. And let me tell you, there's few things about procurement that's going to make you laugh, Emily Kopp. I know you do not laugh at procurement issues. This one, I got a good one coming, so I'll give you the heads up that we'll have a good laugh on Monday.
All right, high expectations.
And I'm setting them high. But it's this fact, the fact that agencies are not, if you will, checking the box and following the rules because they don't want to have to do the justifications or don't understand why they have to do the justifications around bundling and consolidation is why Congressman Graves is pushing the legislation.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. So how are small businesses adapting in light of this news of bundling and consolidations?
Well, I think agencies as well as small businesses are looking at, okay, how can they be innovative? We hear that word a lot. And one of these ways that actually has popped up most recently is around something called contractor teaming agreements, CTAs. Now, this is a concept mainly around the General Services Administration schedule program where two or more contractors kind of come together to meet a specific agency's ordering needs. Now, this is different than a typical joint venture relationship where there's a prime and a subcontractor and there's a hierarchy and maybe even ownership stake. Kate Ely is GSA's Director of Schedule 70 in the Integrated Technology Solutions Office in the Federal Acquisition Service.
We're still working some issues through that. Probably when I'm out addressing audiences, that's one of the things I hear about the most. However, it is extremely critical to have that avenue. So there's some details of that we're kind of working through. And again, one of my biggest challenges is consistency. So sometimes you're going to get a different answer depending on who you talk to. So I'm trying to work through that. I'm working with the acquisition policy folks.
Now, CTAs are not well understood by vendors or agencies, meaning there could be mistakes, missteps, and that's a concern. And that's why Ely says she's trying to make sure that these CTAs, contractor teaming arrangements, are aligned with policy and based on a set of standards. Now, GSA recently put a list of frequently asked questions around CTA to help further explain it, and we do have a link to that on federalnewsradio.com to help people really understand what it really means. Now, another way to deal with this bundling consolidation issue is through a new Chief Acquisition Officers Dialogue that was just launched earlier this week by OFPP and the Chief Acquisition Officers Council. Now, the dialogue asks interesting parties, the general public, really anyone, for ideas to help solve three specific procurement issues. The first is how to increase small and disadvantaged business participation in government contracting, including bringing in new small companies that traditionally do not do government contracting. The second is around changes to rules or practices that are needed to increase innovation across government. And the third is what compliance requirements really are burdensome today and could be changed. So these are three big areas. I think it's all related back, if you will, to healthcare.gov in many respects. This is another piece that is coming together from the administration. We have a link to that dialogue, that request, if you will, for information on federalnewsradio.com as well.
So, Jason, tell us about the subcontracting goals and subcontracting plans. Where do those fit into this discussion?
In many ways, subcontracting is as important as prime contracts. A lot of small businesses really get their start in government contracting through subcontracts. So each agency has goals. Each prime contractor, depending on their contract, has subcontracting goals. So meeting those goals are almost as big as meeting the government-wide 23% goal that we talked about at the beginning of our conversation. But there are some concerns there, too. I think one of the biggest ones that came up yesterday at the ACT-IACT Small Business Conference event in Washington was around how agencies measure their progress and as well as vendor progress against the goals. Now, again, each agency has a 23% goal, and then they have a subcontracting goal. So let me give you the rub here, and I'm going to try to give you an example to make it easy.
Please do.
There are, if an agency awards to Emily Kopp & Associates a $100 million contract, and Emily Kopp & Associates says, we will commit to subcontracting $20 million of that $100 million out, whether small or large businesses, there's some question and interpretation issues about what those goals are based on. Are the goals based on that $100 million contract that Emily Kopp & Associates won, or are the goals based on the $20 million that Emily Kopp & Associates committed to subcontracting out? The Small Business Act says it's based on the total of the subcontracting out value, meaning that $20 million. But the Federal Acquisition Regulations is less clear, and some agencies say, no, it's based on that $100 million aggregate. So it's not clear, and that is causing concerns and problems within the federal contracting community. And I think people are starting to recognize that this is a major problem. In fact, at the Department of Health and Human Services, they developed a change in their own kind of what they call their FAR supplement to deal with this confusion. It's also happening in other places. Sandra Broadnex is the Director of Small Business Programs at the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency.
OSD Andre Gunter office is working on a subcontracting working group So we will bring that up. I agree it needs to be changed and be consistent with the small business participation plan at the source selection level, because that is based on the total contract value. So I got it noted, I've sent it, and we will work it.
Now, I also checked with the folks at OFPP to see if this issue of subcontracting Golin was on their radar at all. Matthew Blum is the associate administrator at OFPP. He says it's not, but they are aware of these challenges. Now, I also did a little bit more research and found out actually there was a meeting on Capitol Hill yesterday focusing on subcontracting. And the fact is that not only are there the Golin issue, but there are two different systems that collect the data around Golin: the Electronic Subcontracting Reporting System, or ESRS, and then there's also the Federal Subcontracting Reporting System, FSRS, and that falls under the USAspending.gov portal. Now, I'm told the meeting centered on changes that GSA wants to make in these two systems. They want to standardize agency reporting. The problem is ESRS is focused on percentages, not dollars. FSRS is focused on all subcontracts worth $25,000 or more. And then, as we talked about earlier, the statute focuses on percentages. So things just aren't coming together. A Hill staff member tells me the goal is to get agencies to focus on both percentages and dollar figures in the end and put all this data into a system in a standard way that's easy to access. So, again, a lot of work still needs to be done around the idea of subcontract reporting.
Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. And, Jason, thanks so much for that report.
Always a pleasure.